It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We dive into the business climate in our state and learn about a movie theater enterprise with deep roots here. Milwaukee-based Marcus Corporation was founded nearly 90 years ago during the Great Depression with the purchase of a single movie theater in Ripon. Call in with your questions about the future of the movie theater business, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Greg Marcus is president and CEO of the Marcus Corporation, which operates two divisions, Marcus Theaters and Marcus Hotels and Resorts. Greg, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. So your company owns or operates more than 80 theater locations in 17 states. What is your vision for the future of Marcus Theaters?
My vision for the future of Marcus Theaters? Well, look, we will... We're a place where people get together to consume entertainment and to be together as a community and to get off that couch, and that's what it has been and that's what it will continue to be. Now, what that entertainment is, you know, I can't tell you for sure. There may be less movies, but there's going to be concerts and maybe comedy and, you know, we do the Metropolitan Opera, so there'll be maybe there'll be different, you know, a wider variety of content, but the concept of people getting together to consume entertainment outside of their house, believe it or not, to those who don't seem to get off their couch, has been going on for, you know, millennia. And so, you know, it's the good thing is it's, you know, people talk about it. So let's not beat around the bush here. People are like, well, we can stream everything into our houses. Yeah, you can. But frankly, there's really very little difference between streaming and TV, except there's a little more availability of product on streaming now than TV used to have. But the experience is still the same. And you can't replicate that experience when you go to a theater, and it's not just about good films. I sat there last night. I saw a movie called A Man Called Otto, and we all sat and cried in that theater together. It was a moving experience. And you know what? Sitting on your sofa crying by yourself, alone, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, I'm going to get to the streaming issue in just a bit. But first of all, what I heard from you a bit earlier was diversification. Movie theaters having to diversify themselves, find new avenues for revenue streams to bring in audiences that are maybe not entirely reliant on a box office and concessions. What does that diversification mean for Marcus, to your business?
Well, I mean, look, it's good to have more product. But let's not be confused here. 80% to 90% is still going to be going to the movies. You know, what's happening, I think, is that there may be, and I don't even know yet what it's going to look like. We don't know. We're in a rebuilding phase, and we don't know what we're going to get back to. We aren't back. This year we were two-thirds of the way back to 2019, as opposed to, and next year we should see a little bit more. We'll come a little bit closer than we were the year before that. I don't know what it'll be. We never know until the movies play. But there's going to be more product, and we're already off to a start. There's more product already. As I said, I was at the movies last night. Last year at this time, if you'd already seen Spider-Man, there was nothing to see. So there was more product already. But where does that end up? I don't know. And then the question is, okay, how do you fill the gap? What do you do? And so that means there'll be other stuff. By the way, it doesn't mean there will always be concessions. That's part of the experience. Sitting there eating some popcorn, but you can eat popcorn or some candy or a burger or pizza watching a concert watching the Metropolitan Opera as much as you can, watching a movie. So
I'm going to reintroduce you here for a moment as we talk with Greg Marcus, CEO of the Milwaukee-based Marcus Corporation, getting an inside look on the movie business and what it means for Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Laura in Arpin is joining in. Laura, what's on your mind?
Good morning. A couple of weeks ago, I just went to the first movie I've gone to in years and years. I come from the generation that went to the movie theater all the time for entertainment. But as I've gotten older, I deal with hearing loss. And our local theater now has devices to provide closed captions. And so that's what finally took me back to the theater, because I could go and I could enjoy the movie without irritating everybody asking, what did they say? What did they say? So it was really fun, and I was so glad to get back into the theater.
Laura, what did you see, may I ask?
We went to see the new Avatar movie.
Oh, sure. Laura, thank you for the call. Greg, you know, an assistive closed caption assistive device made all the difference for Laura.
Well, I want to ask your president if she liked it.
Laura, did you like it?
So the graphics are fantastic. I just wish they had updated the story a little bit compared to the original.
Oh, thank you for that. Greg, go ahead.
Yeah, I love that movie. I really enjoyed it. I was a little skeptical when I went in to go see it. I was thinking, man, 3 hours long, you know, blue people, this is what is, you know, and because I'm getting older, and I guess I'm a little more skeptical, and I loved the movie. I was like, wow. And my son, who's in his early 20s, he was equally skeptical. He said, Dad, I really love that movie. Okay, good. But yeah, no, we do have the closed caption devices so that people with hearing disabilities can see the story and hear and enjoy the story with everybody. And I think that technology is going to get better. You know, look, that technology was making progress and getting better and better as we pre-pandemic. And I think in the pandemic, everything went out the door. And I suspect as we get back to a more normal operating environment, that's going to make even more, we'll make more advances in that.
How dependent is your type of business on the avatars of the world, on these big films that are meant for theaters?
It's dependent on all the movies. You need a full slate of movies, and that includes the avatars of the world. But it includes the Man Called Otto's of the world and the Megan's of the world, which just opened this week, the small horror films. You need the horror films. You need the dramas. You need the comedies. You need the tentpoles. And you need a variety of tentpoles. It can't all be superhero movies. You need superhero movies, but you need an Avatar. You need a Top Gun. You need a Mission Impossible coming up this summer. You need a whole variety of that, too. We, at the end of the day, where I was talking about before, what we need, the movies business is a numbers game. And I always tell people, people will sit around and they'll look at, there's two ways to figure out, to try. And there's an old saying in Hollywood, when I come back to trying, it's everything in Hollywood's an R&D except the sequel, which means you just don't know what's going to work and what's not going to work with the audiences. But what you do know is if you make enough movies, if you roll the dice enough times, that you'll have you make 10 movies, two will be really good, two will be awful, and six will be sort of in the middle. But you need all 10 to figure out which we rank. We need 20 or 30 to make it happen. And the truth is we need close to 100 in a given year. And so, like this year, we were down in the low 70s for releases over 2,000 screens. So that's the problem. And I'll tell you a really interesting statistic for people who say, nobody's going to the movies anymore. The average movie in 2019 that went wide over 2,000 screens did about $98 million in box office. In 22, a little over $100 million. So it really is a case of if you build it, they will come.
Marcus Corporation CEO Greg Marcus with us on the future of the movie theater experience, where it's headed. Call in with your questions about going to the movies or what makes sense for holding your attention and pulling it toward the big screens. 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We get an inside look at the movie theater business with Milwaukee headquartered Marcus Corporation, over 80 theaters, 17 states, including, of course, here in Wisconsin. Movie fans, join in with questions about the theater experience, your take on the box office, 800-642-1234. Greg Marcus is CEO of Marcus Corporation and stays with us. Let's go to Chris now in Milwaukee. Chris, hi.
As you know, films are generally rated G, PG, 13, R, NC-17, and PG. Question. I am concerned that theater chains continue to not provide NC-17 films to adults. This has an unfortunate ripple effect back to production. Specifically, edits are imposed on directors, and art suffers. Films get dumbed down. Will Marcus make a commitment to provide NC-17 films to adults?
Chris, thank you for the question. Greg?
It depends. Well, commit to playing what people want to see and that there's enough of an audience for something. You know, it's interesting. As I'm listening to him ask the question, that was a really interesting question I've never been asked before. So I'm going to have to say, I have to go with he has some interesting questions. I think about the answer. But but I will say it's a little bit of the chicken and the egg kind of thing to some extent, because I can't remember the last time anybody came to us and said, would you play an NC-17 movie? So I'm not sure if it's us or, you know, because once again, it goes back to that point that I was making. It's about having it. We're not getting enough films. So, you know, it'll all depend on the community and what the movie is. And, you know, we're not the ones making them necessarily. And I can't remember the last time somebody offered it to us.
And you don't have control over how a film gets rated. So it basically comes to you, I would imagine, as a package. How do you decide what films to take?
We have bookers who look at the films and review them but frankly, you know, most of the Hollywood movies and even beyond, you know, we're playing most of what comes our way. If a distributor is distributing it, part of distributing a movie, there's two parts to it. One part is the making of the movie, the film, the production of it. But the other part is the marketing of it. And if they're going to spend the money on marketing something that almost has sort of it's saying, we believe that there's enough in this, that this is a high enough quality movie that it will attract an audience that we can spend the millions of dollars to market it. Because marketing a movie nationally, which is what has to happen, is very, very expensive.
Let's bring in Nancy now in Madison. Nancy, you want to bring up digital.
I just want to bring up the fact that I'd be going to the movies. I'm old. I'd be going to the movies if I knew where they were and when they were, because I no longer can see them written anywhere in any newspaper or weekly. So that's why I don't go anymore. And I don't go because why would I pay online to go to a movie? And why would I pay to get a seat for a movie? I just want to go, but there's no way to know when and where and what. And I'm old, and maybe there are a few other old people who would like that also.
Nancy, thank you for that. Nancy, referring to how movies used to be listed in the newspaper.
Yeah, sure. You know, look at, I hear, as she said, I thought, well, maybe we should be advertising and look, as we're looking for all of our customers and age is, you know, I'll come back to that in 2 seconds, age, but we want the customer we want to figure out as many ways to reach them as we can. You don't have to buy them online, Nancy, and you don't have to see, and frankly, yes, I guess if you're going to go to the, we do have an issue with, we do assign seats. But frankly, I gotta be honest. If unless you go when we're the most busy, you know, if you go to Avatar right now on a Friday night, yeah, you need to get your seat ahead of time. But Nancy, go see A Man Called Otto. You'd love it. And I'm gonna tell you right now, when I went last night, Were there people in the theater? Yeah, but you pretty much had your pick of seats. And so you go to the box office, and you'll select your seat right there as opposed to just walking to another 20 yards into the auditorium. So you can buy the tickets at the theater. You can pretty much pick your seat right when you're there. And I would say that, you know, but we do want that older audience, and we need to find ways to reach them. But I would tell you, I just saw a stat in the 35-plus demo. That was over half the ticket buyers for Top Gun, as well as Elvis and The Woman King this year. 57% were Elvis, actually, and half for The Woman King. So we are attracting an older audience. We just need more product. And I would just want to say, because it goes back to this whole thing of, I do believe people think, oh, you know what? I can, again, it goes back to that thing. I can watch tent poles, you know, at home. I mean, in the theater, I can watch the smaller stuff at home. It's different. And I think people forget what it's like to go to the movies. Because I would tell people for a long time, I forgot what it was like to go to the movies. I had, I had forgotten what it was like to sit there with in the dark, putting my phone down, not looking at anything else, not pausing it to go do something. I put myself in a cocoon and made myself sort of a subject to the entire experience. And I don't care, you know, the sound is not the same. The 100-foot, the 40-foot, even our smallest screen at 40-some-odd feet, 35, 40 feet, it's a lot bigger than your 100-inch TV. And so I think if you're going to go out, and people want to go out, you know, the other business we have is the hotel business. And
I do want to get back to the business side here for just a moment. I'm going to reintroduce you, Greg Marcus, CEO of Milwaukee-based Marcus Corporation. You know, you're talking about getting back to 2/3 of what you were in 2019. We saw federal funds pouring into Wisconsin and then into the tourism and entertainment industry, receiving millions of dollars in government aid. What effect has that assistance had on your company's operations and its decisions?
Well, I'll tell you, there were two kinds of aid. There was big federal aid, and there was a big thing amount of state aid that came from the federal government. Frankly, the amount that came directly, that there was a thing called Save Our Stages, and that was very beneficial to the smaller companies because it wasn't available to public companies. Now, I got to be honest. I'm not sure I see the distinction between a private company and a public company, especially one like ours. We're not a giant public company. We didn't have access to the same capital markets as others, and yet it was deemed appropriate to keep our cultural institutions like movie theaters in, you know, help them get through what was unprecedented and not their fault, right? I mean, we were closed, unprecedented. We'd never been closed for, you know, almost 6 months. And we employ a lot of people. We give a lot of kids their first jobs. We are an important piece of the state economy, and we make the life, you know, better here. And we paid taxes forever. We've been a tax paying company for a long time.
How did you stay afloat?
We had to borrow money. We had to use our net operating losses, which is that we were generating, we could get some tax refunds. Because we were a taxpayer for so long, and we did get some. And I would say the Evers administration was great, and directed some of that funding to companies like ours. It wasn't huge, but every dollar helped. But we're still dealing with the challenges that brought on. But part of it was because we, as a company, goes back to, again, how do you operate? Distinction, public or private, no distinction. I know people think the big bad public company. I'm not exactly sure why, but I can think of bad actors, but I can think of bad private and public actors.
I just want to run one more thing by you on the business side, because we've been talking with CEOs on our show for a while, and they've all brought up workforce challenges. Is Marcus having trouble finding enough workers?
Oh, yeah. It's getting better. We are noticing it's starting to get better. It's very challenging. But, you know, we've had it. We've the pay has gone up as we responded to the market. But it's always challenging. It can be seasonal, that makes it even harder.
And a few seconds left here. Why does Marcus choose to remain headquartered in Milwaukee?
You know what? It's a great place to exist. It was a great place to raise the family. I grew up here. Williamson's a great city. Our hotels are all here. I do want to talk for a minute about our hotel business because it's a big part. It's an important part of our business, you know, whether it's the St. Kate or the Pfister or the Hilton or the Madison Hilton or the Grand Geneva. You know, these have been very important to where we are, and we believe it's important to be where our businesses are.
That makes sense. Greg, Marcus, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Greg Marcus is president and CEO of the Marcus Corporation, which is based in Milwaukee. It has two divisions, Marcus Theaters and Marcus Hotels and Resorts. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.